is the Tom Likas Show.
Chicks rarely develop their brains. They don't have to.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No, you didn't.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at MobiUpTom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to PremiumTom.com. That's PremiumTom.com. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We do this every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's an hour with attorney Adam Sachs here in his guise of criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you, Adam.
Hey, Tom.
What's going on?
Well, today I'm doing the criminal law thing.
Yes.
Did you tease me as an intro a couple of times? Because I don't know.
I want to tell you. You know why I did not?
You didn't.
Yeah, you see
I
how.
I had a feeling you
again,
didn't.
Here comes some more behind the scenes. We're trying to have shows stocked up as future replay shows, like when, like for Thanksgiving or for Christmas week.
I tried to tell him this. I said we just wanted to be
on.
There's
a voice in my head talking to me again.
Yeah, there you go. If I start saying
God
coming up at 6 o'clock, then when we replay the show, I have to have Mikey go in there and do all this editing and take that stuff out.
No, but you would put the same group of shows and include my show, right? So it would work.
No, but I was saying coming up next. Now it's running today on a Tuesday. Right before you, but on Christmas week it might run on a Wednesday, or a third. It might be before Be Funny, or it might be before Money Monday.
I just want to get the audience all worked up and excited.
They're all worked up for you. You know the deal. But every once in a while we have to bank some of these shows. Otherwise, we're running a bunch of bullshit where it's a happy Monday. It's 107 degrees, and you're playing it Christmas week. You can't do that.
Okay, I understand.
So we have to do that. Right, everyone knows you're here every Tuesday.
Yes, everyone knows.
Everyone's criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. The following week, he is family law attorney Adam Sachs. And we say this incessantly. So here we had a show that had real, what we call, evergreen potential, where we knew we could run this show in November or December, or if I get sick this winter, we could play it, and it wouldn't sound dated.
Okay.
That's also why I didn't promote Be Funny Live.
We're going to have to cut all this stuff out now.
Right?
All this has to go.
And now this has no rerun potential because I'm talking about this.
And
you
he's coming up the butt.
You weren't. Jeez. You weren't going to rerun my show anyway, you just said.
What?
We don't know. It on Thanksgiving and it could be a Thursday or something.
No, the thing is that we could take your segment and rerun it on any Tuesday.
Come now.
Yeah, like I haven't looked at the calendar yet for 2014, but let's look ahead in time here. Let's go to Tuesday, December 30th.
Oh, no.
I'm going to tell you right now, Adam.
Yes.
Love you to death, but I am not going to be here on that day. So we're going to have to take a show that you did at some other point in time.
Tom, a rerun.
Adam.
I'm going to a bar tonight.
We only
guarantee
you 48 weeks a year of doing this show, and then there's 4 weeks where we're going to take time off. That's it. And
one
of those days is going to be Tuesday, the 30th of December, 2014. I guarantee you I won't be sitting here. I won't be sitting at the ranch. I will not be speaking to a microphone.
What about the brick?
On that day. What about the brick? I feel like a brick. I'm working 7 days a week, 50 weeks a year.
Well,
I'm
dedicated to the show, man. If you got the brick, we can do this from anywhere.
I'm dedicated to the show, and I even did the show. I was on vacation for a couple hours just because I could. Okay,
right.
I did a show at midnight on a Saturday. I bet you didn't even know I did it.
I know you did it from that old lady's house in Northern California.
No, that was on vacation. Do you know I did a midnight show a few weeks ago?
On Saturday.
From my kitchen table.
Oh, that's right, in your house, right?
In Hollywood.
I knew that.
Yeah, well, so, we try different things.
All right.
Things happen.
I do follow the show.
Good. So again, and here you're ripping the lid off everything. You know, we try to keep the showbiz element.
Can we start again?
I thought we did this clarity, and we don't. You know, we show everybody. We pull our pants down.
How much do you want me to pull my pants down? You want me to put my phone? You want me to put the company phone bill up online? Yeah.
But sex.
I want a picture of my penis. How far do you want me to pull my pants down?
I
want
to know your net expenses per month.
And we could talk about this off the air. We don't have to talk about it here, but okay. Guess what, folks? Every once in a while we run a rerun, and in order to do that, I have to try to refrain from making dated references so that we don't have to spend $1 zillion having Mikey and Gary having to edit everything so that it's perfect.
It could be very expensive.
It's costly.
I love it. That mic. All these edits you're hearing, though, on the other hand, this is okay.
And we can't be doing that. So
I'm going to a bar tonight. I'm going to pick up a guy.
I realized 20 minutes.
I never said that, Tom. Where is that?
I realized 20 minutes ago, 20 minutes into the show about truth, I realized, you know what? This has rerun potential. So I went to Mikey. I said, Mikey, mark this show because we could rerun this when I'm not here.
Sure, we call that evergreen with what we do. But Adam wasn't privileged to that, I guess. I was trying to tell him. You know, it's okay.
I must have
fine.
Missed that one, yeah. Gary. Was I asleep when you were telling me?
Yeah.
Did I seem to be paying attention?
And that's why. So we did. I didn't promote Be Funny Live. I didn't promote Be Funny is on tomorrow. I didn't say anything. I just did the show without making any data. I didn't say, oh my God, it's 107 degrees in Burbank, and I went outside and I'm sticking to the ground out in the parking lot here. I didn't say anything about anything. So that you could be listening in December and hear this show, or November, or whenever we decide to run it, and you're gonna know that. If you're listening, it'll sound live because it won't have any bad dated references that are irrelevant at that time.
We become Clear Channel.
No, we haven't become Clear Channel.
We can broadcast our show anywhere in the nation in an automated studio, and it doesn't make any difference.
Fuck that. Are you kidding me? I'm on 50 weeks a year. If it were up to you, I'd be on 52 plus.
I'm trying to give you a good work ethic, man.
Oh, I don't have a good work ethic.
Oh, no.
I haven't worked hard enough.
Oh, no. I didn't think it could get worse.
I'm working at midnight. I got Mikey in the control room at 2 a.m. on a Sunday.
All right, so you're a slave driver. Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Working my ass off.
Home. Okay.
I'm under the desk hiding.
I don't work hard enough. Okay.
Wow. All right, I thought you'd miss those extra weeks.
I'm taking a 2-week vacation in December.
Yes.
Telling you right now. Don't fuck with me. I'll tell you, I'll take time off.
All right.
We're not working a couple of days. What day is Christmas?
You don't work on Christmas, right?
No.
Not Hanukkah either, right?
Of course not.
We celebrate the birth of Tom on the 25th, don't we?
There you go. It's a Thursday.
Weren't you born in August or something?
Yes, and I worked on my birthday. I'll remind you.
See, there you go.
Yeah, but I got to take a little. You know what? When I went up to Healdsburg, not only did I do a couple hours from some lady's dining room table, going away for a few days, it energized all of us. We came back with a new, renewed sense of purpose. The numbers were up. The podcast subscriptions were up. Everything was happening. It was great.
Beautiful.
So we're gonna take a little bit of time off from time to time, just for this purpose. Are you kidding? Gary and I going up to Oregon to do the show.
That's the guy that won the contest on eBay.
He didn't win a contest. He won an auction.
He won the auction.
He paid for it. That money's in the bank.
How much was that?
$4,200. It's in the bank.
That's for you to do
he paid.
The show at my house.
No, where did you do
well,
the show?
Whoever's house.
The winner of the auction. Yeah. So we're going to Powell Butte, Oregon, and we're going to do the show up there.
I was raped by a mime.
When did I ever say that?
I was raped by a mime.
We got it on tape, dude.
That's just...
There's no arguing that.
That's like 10 different conversations, man.
Let me give you the Radio Miranda warning, and that is everything you say can and will be used against you.
I think
that's
usable in a court of law right there.
Hold on. Now, that segues us very well into what I want to talk about.
Here we go.
Smooth.
We got to get to the legal stuff sooner or later, right?
At some point.
You know, I was thinking about Lycus 101 and some of the basics. And a lot of times when you're doing Lycus 101, you start the show and you say, you know, I got to start reviewing some of the basic tenets. And I was going to do my general thing, you know, tonight in terms of having, you know, one of my clients come on or telling a story or whatever. And what I really want to talk about instead is the basics. And people, as much as you say it, as much as you repeat it, people are just not getting it. And there's a whole different world when someone calls me and starts saying, you know, I was referred to you or I found you here or there or whatever. And then they tell me the story with all the mistakes they made, which is, you know, understandable in some way because they didn't really know what to do. But on the other hand, what I've had happen, which is absolutely incredible, Tom, is people that are real fans of the show. They tell me right off the bat how much they love you and they love the show and they listen all the time and they're P1s and all that good stuff.
They tell you how many illegitimate children they are.
They have a few of those. They weren't listening to everything.
They just did the field sobriety test.
Well, that's the thing. So they're telling me how they're listening to the show all the time and they blah, blah, blah with the show and they listen to me every week and it's their favorite segment. And then it turns out that they did absolutely the opposite of everything I ever told them. And I say to them, didn't you remember we talked about this? And it's as though they were talking to me directly. And they say, yeah, Adam, I remember when you told me this. And I remember when Tom told me what to do. And blah, blah. And you go, okay, so then what happened? And they're just dumbfounded about it. I think that in certain cultures, maybe, there's a kind of a more inherent respect for authority. And there's some kind of a greater concern. There's definitely some kind of energy where when you get pulled over, you don't want to make the cop angry. You don't want to antagonize, you know, you're kind of afraid he's going to get mad and beat you up or whatever. But at the same time, you know, we've talked about how to kind of walk that line where you're cooperative, but you're not being stupid and you're not giving the game away. I had an interesting guy call me yesterday. I was going to have him on, but he's very, very argumentative, Tom. I think he might even piss you off.
Really?
Yes. There's no doubt about it. Nice enough guy. He got pulled over for a DUI. Apparently, he had been drinking. But he got into this kind of test of wills with the cop when he started, like, arguing. And ultimately, the cop wanted him to get out of the car, and he refused to get out of the car. Which generally is a mistake. I mean, yeah. If the cop tells you to get out, it's time to get out. And anyway, so the cop called for a supervisor to come, a sergeant or something, and then some more police came. And by the time it was all said and done, there were about 5 police cars. And they literally, like, handcuffed him sitting in the driver's seat and got physical with him, with 2 cops. One got into the passenger seat pushing him, and the other one pulled him from the side of the driver's seat. And I think he got hurt a little bit, he got scraped, and, you know, it was very, you know, upsetting and humiliating. And on top of all the charges, they charged him with, you know, failure to cooperate, resisting arrest, police procedures, all that good stuff. And then the worst part is because of the way he was arrested, they searched his car. Now, normally they wouldn't probably have done that, but they did because he was, you know, in this kind of violent whatever. And it turns out he had marijuana and cocaine in the car.
Oh boy.
So, and if I knew I had a bag of cocaine, you know, I'm gonna try to like let it lie, right? You don't want to like antagonize the police that they're really gonna start searching for everything that they can find. But anyway, so this is kind of the deal. I think that what I really want to emphasize, and people have to understand this, is that, you know, police have a really specific job, and their job is to, you know, arrest people and have people charged with crimes and to investigate those crimes and to bring evidence and so forth. You know, I was just seeing this, Tom. You know, you and I are New York boys originally. And one of the things that was, I remember, very cool and stylish to do when I was in my 20s living in New York, it's kind of like being in California and driving to Las Vegas, was to drive to Atlantic City. And when I turned, you know, 21 or whatever, 22, I was, you know, excited, and Atlantic City was pretty far away. And I lived in Long Island, and you had to drive into New Jersey and then go all the way south to almost the bottom of New Jersey, and then you could go to the casino there, and they had these really, you know, nice buildings and Trump Plaza, and there was
about to close.
I think just closed even.
No, the 2 Trump casinos are about to close. The
right,
one
well,
did.
I was getting to that.
Yeah,
and there was the showboat just closed. There was a whole bunch of them, but one of the things that happened when I used to drive down is there were all these little counties of New Jersey that you would pass through, and I would get pulled over again and again and again for, like, speeding or for taillights or whatever. I think that they were counting on the revenues of writing people up for tickets, you know, on the way to Jersey. But if you think about it, what a stupid thing to do, because ultimately it sort of was a deterrent to coming to Atlantic City, you know, getting hassled by the cops and everything. And then ultimately people stopped coming, I guess, or they were coming less, or, you know, the revenues went down. I don't see how you can lose money in the casino business. It's like crazy. It seems like the ultimate moneymaker.
You overborrow, you overspend.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, look at the, by the way, look at Las Vegas. There are buildings practically finished in Las Vegas that they're going to be torn down. They never.
I think the economy turned on them or something.
Well, that's another way you can lose money in one of those places.
Well, it's amazing to me. But the bottom line is that in the end, I think that people have to remember that when they're getting pulled over, it's not the time to argue with the police. It's just not. And the circumstances, wherever you are on the side of the road, are not the time to argue with police. It's amazing in terms of DUIs, for example, how many DUIs start with a basic traffic stop because of a bad taillight or tinted windows. That's a classic. And I have so many people that get pulled over for tinted windows, and instead of talking their way out of it, they start arguing with the cop. The cop says, "Hey, I smell alcohol. Have you been drinking?" And it, you know, goes rapidly south from there. And that's certainly also true of tinted windows, which apparently a lot of people have tinted windows and they drive around, you know, never having a problem, but they're illegal. And, you know, the cop therefore has a reason to pull you over. And then that sort of is the thing that lights the spark that starts the fire. When you talk about the circumstances, it's absolutely, absolutely wrong to argue with the police on the side of the road. You have to be out of your fucking mind. Seriously. It is absolutely the stupidest thing you can possibly do. If you want to debate the case, if you don't feel you're being treated properly, you go to court, you have your lawyer, me, take care of it for you, okay? But you sitting there on the side and saying, you know, my windows aren't tinted, or I don't think my taillight's out, you shouldn't have pulled me over, blah, blah, blah. That is just an absolutely losing strategy. And then the second conversation, when the police say to you, you've been drinking, and you say, well, I had a couple of beers. I mean, you've just confessed to them. The whole reality, the whole entire totality of the thing on the side of the road is to just shut up, just to not get involved in it. And in general, if you feel that you've been treated, a lot of people tell me this, that it's racist or that they were discriminated against or it wasn't fair or whatever it was because of their religion or their race or whatever it is, again, this is something to be dealt with in another context. You're not going to have a good reaction if you say to the cop, hey, cop, you pulled me over because I'm whatever. Okay, that's a terrible, terrible mistake. Now, there were studies, and apparently it's true. It hasn't been my experience, but I'm a white guy. But apparently they had black guys drive Mercedes-Benzes, you know, back and forth in, like, different cities, in main streets and so forth, and they get pulled over. They get pulled over more often than other people, and that's not right, and that's not fair. But if you think that that's happened to you, there's a whole way of dealing with that. It has nothing to do with arguing with the cop. And in general, as we've said, for the DUI pullovers, you do not have to do the things they want. You just don't. It is a mistake. So when you talk about, you know, when they want to, you know, maybe shine the lights in your eyes, what can you do? But when they want to do the field sobriety test, which is, you know, walking and touching your nose, there are a lot of guys who think that they can do that or whatever, they're going to be okay. You are going to fail that test no matter what, okay? If you are stone cold sober and the cop wants to arrest you, he is going to make sure that he thinks you failed the test. It's subjective. You're going to fail it. It's guaranteed, okay? So don't do it. There's no reason to. And what's interesting is a lot of people will say to the cop, I don't want to do it. And cops don't give up so easy. And they'll say, come on, you got to do it. We want you to do it. You're supposed to do it. And people will back down. And the answer is, no, I really am serious. I'm not going to do it. Please don't ask me again. Okay? And you can say that without being an asshole. All right? You're protecting your rights. And as far as the breathalyzer goes, That is a very, very inaccurate machine. It's notoriously screwed up, and you should not do it. I've told these people 100 times, and guys are calling me, yeah, I heard you on the radio. I know I'm not supposed to do it, but they made me do it. Well, what does that mean exactly? Apparently, you tell the cop I don't want to do it, and they literally put the machine, like, in your face. And their practice, like, it's kind of a, on the end of it, it's kind of a straw. And they, like, literally pushing the straw into your mouth, okay? And the bottom line is, again, without being a jerk, you have to assert yourself. You say, look, I want a blood test. That's the accurate test. I do not want this. I am not doing this. I don't care. Please don't do this to me. I don't want to do it. Please step away from me with this. I don't want to do it. And you have to stick to your guns. Now, I have a case that's going on right now where the guy said he didn't want to do the breathalyzer. They pressed him and pressed him, and he finally gave in, which is a real shame. And he blew .09, which is a very, very borderline. You know, it is drunk. It's over the limit, which is .08, but it's right on the edge. Now, if he had not done the blow test, which is not that accurate anyway, and he had waited, he would have gone to the hospital, he would have gone back to the police station, he would have given a blood test, it would have been another hour later. He would have metabolized more of the alcohol, and he might have been under the legal, you know, threshold. He would have been okay. So this is crucial, and I've talked about this on the show, and it's so hard for me because the guys suffer so much, it costs so much money, and it's so frustrating for them, and it causes so many problems. And I would rather you not hire me then. If you had just done it properly, you would have gotten away with it. I'd be happy for you. It's so unfortunate when you see how it goes down when it didn't have to. And I've had a number of cases where these people get into conversations with the police, the passengers are making comments, the people's parents are calling the police, the police are doing that stripper thing where they're giving you their business card and you're following up with them and you're giving them a lot of useful information for them from their point of view to use against you. And that's really, really a shame. And I tell guys, please just shut up. There were so many cases lately that I could have easily won or I could have gotten easily dismissed except the person opened his mouth and yacked and yacked and yacked. One of the things we talk about, Tom, and I love you for this, buddy. I really mean it. This generation of men raised by single mothers. You know, what happened to the silent, brooding man, right? And the women are all like, oh, my God, he's so incredible. What is he thinking, you know? Here we have these guys masquerading as little girls, yakety-yak, blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Shut up.
Right.
What's wrong with you? Guys, please, okay? You're not going to be getting any advantage, certainly not with the police and not in any other circumstance either. You know, Tom always said, if you're, let's say, chatting up a woman, you know, you want to let her talk. Let her tell you about her fucking cat and her dog and her stupid job and her shoes. But if you get into a conversation with her, all of a sudden, you're going to say something that is going to turn her off not to sleep with you.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking for a reason not to.
Right.
Okay? So you start saying blah, 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 Bill O'Reilly. She goes, wait a minute. You watch Fox News? I'm not gonna go out with a guy that watches that shit.
Again, anything you say can and will be used against you.
Yeah, but I'm talking about chicks. It's the same
I
thing.
I know.
The guy's telling me, oh, I couldn't believe she got so upset, blah, blah. You're going to say something, blah, blah, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. You went to Ruth's Chris? You eat steak?
Right.
I'm not dating a guy that eats red meat.
I'm an animal rescuer. I can't believe.
I'm shocked you had a steak. Do you have any idea what happened to that poor animal?
Right.
So, I mean, you think about the circumstances of the police, it's exactly the same thing. Anything that you're giving them, they're piecing it together. They're sitting there. Their job is to gather information to prosecute crimes. And so if you don't give them what they need, they don't have a full picture. That's going to help. On the other hand, I'm sitting with the file, and here are all these quotes that you've said. And the police have it all on those. They nowadays, they have these pens that are actually voice recorders and stuff. They've got everything you've said. And you're saying stupid shit? Yeah, I had a couple of beers, officer. Well, that's a confession. Couple means two. Two beers is over the limit. Okay? And the officer says, where are you coming from? Oh, I came from a bar. Brilliant. You just told them you're in a place where alcohol is served. Okay? What's this? I think I smell marijuana. Yeah, I got high this morning. I got a marijuana card, but it expired. Brilliant. I mean,
there's a lot of that out there.
Yeah, you're giving the game away. Okay? And a lot of people misunderstand. You know, it's nice that we have professional police, and Tom and I have always been big supporters of the police, certainly as individuals. But, you know, the fact that they're being courteous to you doesn't mean that they agree with what you're doing. And so if you say to the cop, you know, I've been doing cocaine today, he might say, oh, cocaine, that's interesting, you know, and it doesn't sound like he's judged you. That's great. But he wrote it in the report, okay? And here I am, your lawyer now, and we're in the courthouse, and guess who's there in full uniform for your court day? Well, the police officer.
Right.
That same one that you were schmoozing with, except guess what? He ain't schmoozing today. Today, he's getting ready to testify against you, okay? And he doesn't hate you. He's just doing his job, okay? And he's going to do it with a smile, all right? And why not have him come to court and have him say, you know, he didn't say anything. He didn't really want to talk with me. Rather than he admitted the crime to me, he confessed that he had this and did that and blah, blah, blah. Stupid. Okay? Where's you know what I need, Mikey? You know that? Shut up. You got that one? Shut up. Shut up. Tom saying that? That is...
Shut up.
Thank you.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up!
That's beautiful. Please, people, it's something to live by.
It is. By the way, that works for everybody. I mean, everybody's got diarrhea of the mouthpiece and the keyboard, for that matter.
Well, look at it. Look at the things that go on. And this thing that I was teasing about dating, it's absolutely true. One way or another, if you just yak long enough, she's going to sift through your conversation. It's amazing. You talk to a woman for 3.5 hours, and she'll focus in on 20 seconds that pissed her off, that gives her just the reason she needs not to sleep with you.
Right?
And it could be anything. Like we said, it could be red meat, it could be Fox News, or any other possible category.
Fine. Tell her nothing. Look like a listener. Tell me more.
She'll say that to you. Oh, you're such a good listener.
I am intrigued. Tell me more.
Really?
And in reality, all you're doing is filling all the time, so I don't have to tell you anything about me. That's how you do it.
Well, it's the same thing all around.
Yes!
When I see these people, especially on Facebook, who are filling up the thing with the screen, with the foods that they ate, and the things that they did, all this inane BS, who cares? What are you doing? What is wrong with you?
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Who's that brooding guy? Is that let's say that's that John Wayne? Do you think
brooding?
That's Stallone.
No, it was more like
Brando.
James Dean.
James Dean.
Yeah.
So he's just filled with like this unfulfilled rage.
Right. And chicks love it.
Well, there you go. There's your legal advice and Lycus 101 wrapped together.
Right. Exactly. Unbelievable. All right, let's take a break here. We got, of course, in the studio, we got our friend Adam Sachs, who is here as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. A bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, and it's absolutely live if you're listening at 6:30 p.m. on the West Coast, 9:30 p.m. on the East Coast, on Tuesday, the 16th of November, 2014. So now you know.
September.
It's a
September.
Live show. It's live. We're here right now.
And we're not playing this on Thanksgiving, right?
No. I guarantee you we're not replaying this. No doubt. So here's your phone number if you've got legal questions. This is free legal advice for you.
And I love fucking cats. Oh, my Damn. God. What did I
look
fucking
at
cat?
This stuff you say. It's unbelievable.
Jesus. I don't know. That's Mikey doing something, man.
Well, 901-3000, Tom. That's our telephone number. You've got legal questions, and you need legal advice. Have you been accused of committing a crime of any kind? DUI? Maybe you're smoking too much weed? Maybe you got pulled over? Well, who knows? Attempted murder? You never know. Now, who knows what you did or what? Maybe you did it, and you don't want to go to jail. All right. 901-3000, Tom, is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000, Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Welcome to one of our newest sponsors. It's DatingTricks.com. That's DatingTricks with an X.com. Now, you know your professor has been saying for years that one of the greatest ways to trick chicks is to put your number on the back of an ATM receipt with a large balance. It's a classic, and we know it works because we hear from guys who pull it off all the time. But I'll admit, hunting around for an ATM receipt with a good balance can be a real drag. Well, now the boys at DatingTricks.com have you covered. Realistic-looking ATM receipts with large random balances delivered to your door. Done. You got to see it work for yourself. Visit DatingTricks.com today. That's DatingTricks with an X.com and receive 3 free additional fake ATM receipts per shipment when you enter this promo code, Tom101. Okay? The promo code for DatingTricks is Tom101. You've been hearing about this forever. Now here's an easy and fun way to put it to the test. Remember, tricks is spelled with an X. It's DatingTricks.com. Check it out today, DatingTricks.com.
We're here with Dr. Skanky Poon. He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny. Terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
Tumor faster, harder. New normal rock.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslow Insurance. COSTLO. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslow since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslow. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added 2 more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslow has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com today. Coslow. COSTLO.
Hammer time.
Oh, yeah, the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Here's your opportunity to get free legal advice from criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs by calling 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Now let's take a news story that came up since the last time you and I did this segment, Adam.
Which one, man?
Come on. Adrian Peterson.
Oh, God.
Now, let's talk about this football player, Adrian Peterson. He's got,
according to
what I read, he's got 7 children by 7 different women.
Fabulous.
Also a devout Christian, by the way.
Of course.
And as Jesus said, you know, keep fucking as many women as possible and banging out as many illegitimate children as you can.
Be fruitful and multiply.
That's what our
goal.
Lord said, yes. And, okay, so he gets suspended and he's out there with a switch. And now we got this big national debate going on.
Okay.
About baiting your kids.
Well, there are some countries in the world that have just made it illegal.
Right.
I mean, literally.
We're not one of them.
We are not one of them. We have our Christian roots that we're so proud of.
Right.
And it says in the Bible, spare the rod and spoil the child. And so there is some sense. I mean, there was a time when it was considered legitimate and okay to beat your wife.
Right.
And in some countries it still is, by the way. But we have a culture that has rejected that, and that's a good thing, of course. People that beat their wives get in lots of trouble,
yeah,
at least theoretically. But it is still one of the only legitimate forms of assault is to hit your children. And it is something that you are allowed to do. And it's really quite horrific, actually.
Well, you're also allowed to circumcise your kids.
Well, and it's a good question of whether that's child abuse, but there's certainly no doubt that
No, that's not even a question. The law has decided circumcision is not only okay, it's frequently done automatically when kids are born.
Well, it used to be religious, right? Obviously, it was also considered hygienic or whatever, particularly in North America.
Right.
It's not done in Europe so much in the same way. But the thing about, you know, this child discipline thing, using physical discipline, you know, this ends up being a conversation, and I've seen it in court, and it's just wretched, where, you know, do you believe in corporal punishment? And the parent says yes, and then it's a question of, you know, what? How hard? What have you done? And you know that the biggest child abusers are women, by the way. That's always a surprise to everybody, because apparently the big bad wolf is always supposed to be the man. But there's no doubt about it. Women are the abusers in the vast majority of child abuse cases, and women are particularly brutal with their children. And in this particular instance, I've seen these kinds of pictures before in my own cases. You see, like, what's on TMZ, you see a little boy who's, 4 years old, and he's covered from head to toe in like, basically whip marks, you know, but not just superficial ones, but ones that have broken the skin,
right,
and obviously causing scarring and blood and so forth, and it's just disgusting. And I think Charles Barkley was trying to say, well, that's, you know, that's the South or whatever, but, I mean, I don't give a shit if it's the South. That's sick. It's the conversation about tradition. There was supposed to be a tradition in India where when they would burn the husband after he died on his funeral pyre, they would, you know, supposed to have the wife jump on it or be pushed on it and burn to death because she was still alive. And that was the tradition. So that was supposed to be respected. And we're supposed to respect other cultures and their cultural traditions. Well, I'm sorry, but whipping your child with the switch and so forth and all this thing that happened is awful and disgusting. And, you know, children didn't ask to be born. And I think it's very, very traumatic for them. And I think that the lesson that is taught to them is that the bigger person, meaning the parent in this case, is allowed to beat up the smaller person, the more defenseless person. And, you know, even these parents that give their kids a little rap on the hand or the tush or whatever, I mean, there's no comparison to what this asshole did. And you see how America has such a sick love affair, a pathological love affair with the NFL. I mean, that's the bottom line. We love our athletes so much that we're willing to let them do almost anything.
It's not even that we love the athletes so much.
Well,
people
love
their teams.
Yeah, that's what
they love
mean.
Their city. They like gambling. They like drinking.
You shouldn't be playing, Tom.
But nobody cares. Look,
yeah, well,
look at baseball.
That's the problem.
Let's take baseball for an example, which is not wife beating or child abuse.
Well,
but the steroid era, you know, I mean, here were people out and out cheating by taking drugs that were either banned by the league or not banned by the league in order to get an advantage. And baseball, here's people hitting 70 home runs in a season and breaking every record. And people still watch baseball. I can't believe it. They have record revenue, record attendance, and that's what happens.
Do you think there's a factor in these other instances in the NFL where these guys are perhaps on, you know, steroids and stuff and making them more hostile, making them more violent?
Well, I think that's entirely possible. But here's a question that nobody will ask because everybody is afraid of getting punished by the NFL for talking about this. Adrian Peterson saying he needs to take a switch to his kid. Did anybody ever consider that one of the reasons Adrian Peterson's child is misbehaving is because his father has to run back and forth between seven baby mamas and seven children? Maybe daddy's never home. Maybe that's why he misbehaves. Maybe the reason he needs discipline is because he doesn't have a fucking father around to be there with him. Did anybody ever consider that possibility?
So we need to put a morality clause in the contract that these guys can't have out of wedlock children?
No, I'm not. Well, put it this way. Maybe it's time for teams to start considering character as part of why they sign people. Maybe you do that.
Well, what about the guy that was electrocuting dogs or whatever was it?
Well, that guy, Michael Vick.
He's playing again, right?
Playing for the New York Jets. And how many of those liberals, who were wagging their finger here, how many of them live in the New York area? And meanwhile, on Sunday, they go out to New Jersey, and they root for the New York Jets.
Yeah, but are one of these great players so irreplaceable, Tom?
I don't think so.
It would be such a loss to just write off Michael Vick for life.
Of course, the Vikings look like shit without Adrian Peterson. That has to be said.
There you go. Isn't that the real reality? The fans, the advertisers, the owners, and everyone else want teams that win games, right?
They do. But, how many games are you going to win when your players are getting suspended or arrested or going to jail or being indicted? Adrian Peterson couldn't attend a practice, I believe, because he was being indicted.
But if you look at the reality, in terms of just the regular demographics of life, right, in a cross-section, you have a certain number of people and percentage of people getting arrested for these things. So if you have all these NFL teams, they're going to have a certain number of players under these same circumstances, right?
Understood.
And these are young guys. They're in their 20s, right? So they're doing stupid shit.
They're doing stupid shit, but here's the deal. The NFL has all these marketing partnerships, everything including their attempt to market to women by having these guys wearing pink do-rags for breast cancer and what have you. And they've got all these big-name advertisers and stuff. You know what? I'm shocked that the advertisers don't do what they did to the Clippers. You remember what happened to the Clippers when Donald Sterling wouldn't give up the Clippers. Every single advertiser the Clippers had bailed. So it's interesting. Donald Sterling, I obviously do not support what he said and did, but yet I would say that making racial remarks, as bad as it is not as bad as clocking your wife in the elevator or beating the shit out of your child. And yet it was Donald Sterling they all went after, and the Clippers they all went after.
Right.
How can the big national advertisers, the Beers, the McDonald's, whatever, how can they still be advertising on NFL football while the NFL is reeling and can't figure out what to do about this?
It's an interesting thought, because when you think about, Don Sterling, I don't agree, obviously, with what he said. That was fucked up. But on the other hand, right, he just had this private conversation with this girlfriend that recorded it, right? If you think about this guy beating up his child and the whole situation being investigated by Child Protective Services, or the other guy that clocked his wife in the face in the elevator, he seemed like much, much more serious things, right?
Right.
By any step of the imagination,
right.
Sterling was an asshole, but he was relatively nonviolent, right?
Well, as far as we know. Who knows?
Well, obviously, but they turned on him. In a way, I think these things are going to become much more commonplace, and so people aren't going to be so shocked by them in the same way. We're certainly worn down. We're watching those beheadings by ISIS or whatever.
Right.
When they killed the first guy, right, now they're on, the third or fourth guy by now. It doesn't have the same weight anymore, it's theater in a way, isn't it? And it's right, now they cut the head off a British guy, they cut the head off another journalist, It's sad for the families, but, when you see it a few times, it doesn't have the same impact that it used to.
Right. Exactly.
I'm just looking here.
By the way, speaking of violence in the NFL, domestic violence, I'm looking back at Jim Brown, who most of his fun with the police happened after he left the NFL.
Right.
But look at this. February 1970, jury finds Brown not guilty of assault and battery charges stemming from a traffic accident. Later on, in 1978, sentenced to a day in jail for beating and choking his golfing partner, Frank Snow. 85, Brown is charged with raping and assaulting a 33-year-old woman in his home.
How nice.
Judge dismisses the charges based on inconsistent testimony.
Thank God for that.
August 1986, Brown arrested for assaulting living girlfriend Deborah Clark. Charges are later dropped after Clark refused to prosecute.
Good old Clark, there you go.
Oh, June 1999, Jim Brown is long out of football. Following a domestic disturbance with his wife, Monique, Jim Brown arrested and charged of making terrorist threats towards his wife.
Oh, that's serious.
In the 911, Monique Brown accuses Brown of threatening to kill her. He claims she later recants. In September 1999, the jury finds Brown guilty of vandalism for smashing his wife's car with a shovel. Later, fined $1,800 sentence of 3 years
hold
probation.
On a second now, Tom, if you take these guys and you dose them up with steroids, right, and you're training them all day long to be killers, right, like the kind of things that they do in the Army where they train Marines, right, and they teach them to kill and they teach them to have the killer instinct and all that, right? How can you take someone like that, put them in Afghanistan or whatever, bring them back to civilization, put them with their wife, and expect them to be totally okay and behave normally? These football players are trained having these instincts and whatnot. This woman in the elevator slapped him across the face, right?
You really couldn't tell if she even if her hand even hit his face. She was reaching out to slap him. It's kind of hard to tell, but you can certainly tell that punch hit her straight in
yeah,
well,
do
in
you
her
expect
puss.
Him to exercise good judgment? I mean, seriously, he's already, you know, a very like a warrior, essentially, yeah. A gladiator.
Yeah.
I mean, so when he goes home, all of a sudden he becomes a good boy with his wife, and then he goes back to the field, and he's crazy again?
Right. Now, by the way, when I was talking about Adrian Peterson, who's someone I know who is a Christian, a devout Christian.
Yeah.
This devout Christian said to me, I said, look at this guy. He's on the Pat Robertson show, 700 Club. He's on there talking about his devout Christianity, the videos yeah. online. And she said to me, well, you know, African Americans are like that. You know,
oh my God!
That's how they are. They
a Christian
they have
said that
children with several people, but they're still Christian. You know. And, oh, so let me understand. There's a black Bible and a white Bible. So the black Bible says, okay, yeah, here are the Ten Commandments, but we got asterisks. If you're black, you can knock up
you
seven
can skip,
different chicks.
Skip a couple of these.
Don't
principles.
Worry about it. Yeah.
You know, when you really look at the predatory nature today, we talk about this many times of, you know, women today. These guys, you know, whoever they are, you know, they were playing sports and doing what they were doing. All of a sudden, they get picked up by the sports teams, you know, the big-time NFL teams. They're making millions of dollars, and they got women who are dying to get pregnant by them.
Right?
That's why he has seven baby moms.
Literally, in some cases, I
don't know about
I suspect.
Literally, but okay.
Yeah, literally.
No, but if you look at the situation, I mean, this is a thing where the women are very businesslike
right.
and very motivated,
yes.
and they're very focused on these guys, and
mm-hmm.
they're basically, you know, this guy's, you know, lonely or whatever he's doing, he's on the road somewhere, and this chick is like, you know, ready to do whatever he wants. You know, he thinks he hit the jackpot in terms of sex or whatever, but, you know, she is a predator. She really is.
Right.
And her goal.
But that's legal, being a legal predator.
Absolutely.
Right.
And her goal is to get pregnant as quickly as possible. And then she, you know, that's her ticket. She's going to get immediately sue him for child support. And she doesn't even have to, like, you know, ever see him again or whatever. And cash that in. I mean, that's an ugly, ugly reality. But, you know, when you say, how did he have all these baby mamas? Well, stupidity. And you and I always talk about giving guys a pass for, like, one.
Right.
I always think one is okay. Crazy as that is. You know, when these guys tell me that they're on their third and fourth and fifth baby mama and they still don't know about condoms or getting a vasectomy or anything, I'm always a little disappointed. But what can I tell you?
We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. We have a call coming up here as well at 901-3000. Tom, it's free legal advice for you. With criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, 901-3000. Tom is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Fantasy football's back, and DraftKings.com is America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where you could win enormous cash prizes every week. Hurry and get free entry into the Millionaire Maker event. You can win $1 million. Head to DraftKings.com right now, enter promo code TOM101, and play free to become a millionaire. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter TOM101 for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
We took an Italian from Philadelphia and a Czech from New Jersey, and we threw them in a swamp together with a limited supply of booze and pills. And shit gets crazy. They ain't just stupid. They're swamp stupid. Go to GaryAndDino.com.
How many times have you heard audio that sounds like this?
Let me
When in reality, it should sound like this.
Let me help you, like you help me.
Well, Devin Bronson is here from BN Audio and the Black Box, and he's got some exciting news about the Black Box show. Welcome, Devin. What's going on?
Hey, Tom. I wanted to stop by today and tell you about our new promotion we are offering your listeners. It's the Black Box Bluetooth Bundle. Now, what that is a lot of listeners have written us, and they've asked us about Bluetooth and how it applies to the Black Box. When it was created, Bluetooth was nowhere near the quality we wanted it to be. Now we're able to offer the best Bluetooth available on the market to work with the Black Box, and we're giving it away for free.
Wow, that's a great deal. You know, we love the Black Box around here. We have them here in the studio. We have them at home. Everybody here loves the Black Box. If you go to bnaudio.com, you put in promo code Tom, you get the Black Box for the usual P1 discounted price bundled with Bluetooth altogether. Go today to bnaudio.com. Remember promo code Tom. It's bnaudio.com.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And I love getting email. You can email me at adam@adamlawyer.com.
There we go. All right, 901-3000. Tom, Bruce in Inglewood. You're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. I thought I'd make a call and add to the content kitty.
All right, Bruce.
Hey,
thank you.
You know, it's, well, happy December 30th over there on Tuesday. It actually snowed in Malibu today, Tom.
No way.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
I never saw that before.
Who could believe it here, you know?
What a mystery.
Hey, Adam, I wanted to tell you, I got a friend of mine happens to be a prosecutor, and he says that one of the worst things is when he gets a report from a case he's trying to prosecute.
Yeah.
And he looks at what the police report is, and it says the suspect never said anything.
Oh, yeah.
He says, that's the most difficult thing. There's nothing to go on.
Biggest pain in the ass.
Yeah. But if you just, keep on repeating, I don't want to say anything without the advice of my attorney, Adam Sachs.
Well, we can say my name, too. Why not?
Yeah. You know, who can reach that? And get a copy of yourself in the room. But, hey, I want to ask you, just out of curiosity, if you're pulled, let's say you're pulled over, the suspect you're a DUI and everything, and you roll down the window, and the cop says, okay, I see your license, and okay, looks at the license, and then he says, starts asking you questions, and you say, I'm sorry, officer, but I just really don't want to answer any questions tonight, and
right.
You just keep on repeating that, and the cop gets mad, and then finally, can he say, okay, step out of the car,
sure,
and then you have to step out of the car, right?
If he's got probable cause, he's going to arrest you.
Right. Okay, but then can he have somebody else get in that car and just drive it to the side of the road or something? You know what I mean? Is that legal?
I mean, normally speaking, I don't know the circumstances. I'm talking about a checkpoint or you got pulled over or whatever. They have to pull you over for a reason. So, people swerve or they have tinted windows or kind of nonsense.
How about a checkpoint? Let's say you're at a checkpoint and the cop doesn't like it that you're not answering his questions.
The cop will say, can you pull over, pull over to the right or whatever. I mean, you shouldn't be uncooperative. People don't understand that. There's a whole difference.
Not uncooperative, but I'm just saying, standing up, just not answering his questions. That's, about where have you been? Have you had anything to drink tonight? Just politely saying,
have you been drinking tonight? You say no. And if they start getting into, where you're coming from, officer, I really don't feel comfortable, discussing this with you. I haven't done anything wrong. I'd like to go back on my way,
Right. And at that point, could they say, okay, step out of the car,
which you do,
but then could they, have somebody and say, leave the keys in the ignition? Could they have somebody else get in it and drive it, to the side of the road? Because then
Theoretically, I mean, you know, not to cause a traffic hazard or something. I mean, normally speaking, they're just going to ask you to do it. But, I mean, they may have someone else do it. But when you think about the circumstances in terms of them, they are trying to establish a reason. They're trying to have a reason to arrest you and to show that you've done something. You know, that's what it's all about for police, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, there's no reason for them to get it. Yeah, that's right. There's no reason to help them along. And as you said, when the prosecutor opens up that folder, you know, they want to sit there and say, well, what the fuck is this? You know, they don't want you making all these statements that make everything clear. You're not helping yourself doing that. It's very, very ignorant. And you're going to be a lot...
I was going to ask you, I'm sorry. Did you hear about, it was on the internet today, about this guy that got pulled over by the police and... he had trouble rolling down the window or something like that, but the cop tased him and dragged him out and put his foot on his back while the guy's having convulsions. And the guy's actually the kid. He's I don't know 19 or something, and he's the son of a police officer too.
Oh God.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that, but
I mentioned that there was a guy that called me yesterday who wanted to hire me, and he was talking about that he refused to get out of the car, and they got violent with him and they cuffed him in the car and dragged him out. I mean, come on, you got to use some good judgment, whatever your situation is. You know, cops, I think, generally are professionals, but, you don't want to be too much of an asshole. There's no reason to be.
Yeah, you don't want to piss them off.
Yeah.
Stuff and,
why would you, by the way? Why make their job more difficult? That's only going to be taken out on you in some way.
Good to be polite to them, and that's it. Stand your ground with them.
By the way, I think polite, I think, is absolutely critical. A little kindness goes a long way. And when you say to them, look, officer, don't take this personally. I'm really sorry. I really want my lawyer here. I'm not gonna answer your question.
No, actually, I've been able to talk myself out of a couple tickets twice because I was really nice to the cop. And, I said, well, I'm just on my way to work. And it was in the morning on my way to work. And the guy pulled me over. So the officer said, I thought I did everything right. You know, I put my signal on. I said, maybe you – and I know he couldn't see it because there was a car blocking it. And he couldn't see my signal. And I said, I don't know if you're able to see that I put my signal. Maybe something was blocking it. But, I just said I thought I did everything right. And then he let me go.
A lot of people have told me lots of different kinds of stories of pullovers and circumstances that could have gone either way. You know what I mean? Where it could have gotten nasty. And it was kind of on the edge. And just by massaging it a little... and just being patient and trying to, just be respectful and not making a big deal about it, they ended up walking away from it. I think that's smart.
All right, Bruce, thank you for the call. Again, how can people get in touch with you, Adam?
Give me a call at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320.
Over 700,000 tune-ins every month. Don't fuck with us. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Dino.
I'm an idiot.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine or blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription. It's the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer.
Well, I am.
Beer Magazine. Oh. Texas worker has been arrested for rubbing his balls on a customer's pizza.
Yeah. But he did apologize.
Apparently rolled in 30 minutes before closing.
He got pineapple on the pizza, too. That probably upset the dude.
Our friend Austin Michael Simmons was not happy. 18 years old, so he balled it.
Yep.
He bare-balled the pizza.
Yeah, he did.
He teabagged the pizza.
I'm telling you, it was the pineapple.
You think
having
it was
to make
the pineapple
what? With 10 minutes to go in this day, he probably put the cover over top of the cheese. Everything was put away. He couldn't wait to get out of there, and that phone rang.
Yeah. Customer told police he walked in and saw Simmons, a since fired employee, at Georgetown's Papa Murphy's Pizza, rubbing his testicles on the pizza.
Bah!
Simmons says,
man,
I'm really sorry.
See, he did apologize.
That was stupid. That was stupid.
But here's the crazy part, because the customer who this had been allegedly done to, actually saw this go down.
Yeah,
so
no, he walked in. He walked in. He ordered the pizza ahead of time. He walked in.
Yeah.
And Mr. Simmons, right there with the balls. With the balls.
Yeah, but...
And when he was caught, that's when he apologized. He said, man, I'm really sorry. That was stupid. Those were my balls on your pizza.
Man, I got to see the layout of this.
Yelling at him and saying you're old enough to know better and all this.
Yeah,
the whole dialogue went on.
Yeah, yeah.
But the bare facts are this. He fucking teabagged the pizza.
Yeah. Are you sure this has nothing to do with the pineapple?
Yeah. Pineapple does not belong on pizza. If you order it, expect balls to come along.
Basically, when you order a pineapple on a pizza, it means you get the side order of balls.
Yeah. Look, a couple of cases that you should follow. They're essentially the same exact situation, except one involves a male teacher. The other involves a female teacher. This one out of Pennsylvania.
All right.
It's a broad having sex with a 14-year-old male student.
Hmm.
14, she's 31.
Oh, my God. Bucks County, hold up
she's
now. She's
Caucasian. She's like a band teacher.
Yeah.
She's pregnant. Right. She got all this shit going on, right? She's banging a 14-year-old. Then you go to Lakeland, Florida. You got a 28-year-old male teacher banging a 14-year-old female student.
Oh,
Let's see who gets more time. Let's see if the broad gets any time at all. Let's see who gets balls on their pizza.
Well, it looks like if this story is true, our 31-year-old band instructor from Lenape Middle School in Doylestown, it looks like she got some balls on her pizza.
Yeah. Another awesome story out of Florida. Guy comes into a yoga class, says, hey, never took a yoga class before. This is my first time. Well, what do I need to do? Well, you need to sign up, sign here, sign there. I'm a little nervous first time. Class starts. Dude starts jerking off. Joseph Jordan. twice in one day, a sexual offender, registered sexual offender.
Are there tissues around here?
But I mean, I'd probably end up doing the same thing. If I ended up in an all female yoga class, I'd probably end up like, you know.
Our friend could not control himself.
But, you know, but here's the thing, dude. It was calculated. He's like, I'm going to go sign up for a yoga class, pretend that I'm like into this, and I'm just going to start beating off.
See how that goes.
Right? You got some MILF in front of you doing like a split, and she's stretching.
Oh, they're doing a downwards dog doga or some shit.
Yes,
all
that.
That. Dude's fucking just striking it right there.
A husband apparently busted for choking his wife over not having enough leftover chicken.
Listen, I tell you what, the chicken is a very important thing.
Where's the chicken? Where's my chicken?
This is another story out of Florida.
Yeah.
But our friend Desmond Leon Brownlee, 45. I mean, he's been busted for allegedly choking his wife over a fried chicken dispute.
Dude, he choked the chicken.
He choked his wife over the chicken.
Yeah, sorry, got it mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, this isn't like your average escalating fight over chicken because I guess it's alleged that Mr. Brownlee had struck her multiple times in the face and then strangled her to the point of not being able to breathe.
Yeah.
That's when his girl broke free and called 911. That's when a Florida deputy sheriff shows up.
Friend should have gone to Roscoe's. He's got it done.
Then he could have got waffles, and it makes everything good.
This is the shit that porn movies are made of. I don't understand how this happens. I would say this has got to be a first. Chicago hospital, dude's waiting for a heart transplant. Nurse comes in and fucks him. Nurse, unsolicited, out of nowhere, nurse comes in and fucks him. She got fired, by the way.
Oh,
and there's
Jesus Christ.
There's no story behind it or anything. She wasn't, like, paid to do it or some shit like that. She fucked him. The nurse fucked him. I mean, this is what a guy's... Any guy laying in the hospital bed is thinking, God damn, I wish a nurse would come in and fuck me.
Say that God damn one more time.
God damn.
God damn.
Finally, a pick alert for you. Claudia Romani, one of our favorites. She's one of yours.
Yes, she is. She's in Miami.
Sure, she's in Miami. I saw this picture on her Instagram account. She's got now she's wearing bikinis. They got her name on the back. It says Claudia on the back above her ass.
Well, just in case.
Right, in case who's, you're wondering whose ass that is. By the way, brilliant marketing, am I correct?
I agree, too. And plus, what she inadvertently does is help out the photographers that line up along the beaches because they're like, shit, what ass was that? Oh, it's Claudius.
Exactly. Plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
God damn.
Be sure to check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 listener Antonio Atoche and his brothers, and they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous Pollo a la Brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca, on West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right of the 91, at where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
This is the new normal.